The Homeless Podcast deals with topics of a sensitive nature and is not intended for all audiences. At times, this podcast may include explicit language or adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Homeless Podcast, Season 1, Episode 10, a podcast that tells the stories of those that live on the fringe of society. If you haven't already subscribed, please make sure you do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you may be listening right now. As you listen to this episode, please note that the opinions stated on the podcast by guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Homeless Podcast itself. Moby is a world-renowned recording artist, DJ, and philanthropist. His ability to sample historically significant soundbites and intertwine it into his own music has set him apart from other artists. The Homeless Podcast is proud to share his song, Like a Motherless Child, which is an updated version of the old African-American spiritual, Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. This piece is the Advent remix by Moby himself, and is shared here courtesy of MobyGratis.com. Check out the links in the episode to hear Moby on various platforms. This song is poignant as well as appropriate for this episode, as you will soon find out. Thanks to Moby and his mission to make this world a brighter place. Seattle's Union Gospel Mission was founded in 1932 with a mission to feed and care for those suffering from the Great Depression. On the UGM website, you can read about their mission and their drive to reach as many lives as possible. It all started with one borrowed soup kettle, and now thousands are reached through kindness and sharing, through outreach, and through caring. A short 30-minute drive from where I grew up, the Union Gospel Mission was a place my school would take us to volunteer. Little did I know that my short time serving in the early 1990s would lead me back to developing an interview platform, but that's what life is all about, I guess. Just riding the wave and knowing that the journey may not be clear, but it will be made apparent at some point. Today we will hear from Richard, a former drug addict turned outreach administrator for the Union Gospel Mission. He is on the search and rescue team and hits the streets every single day, looking to not only bring hope and joy to those that he meets, but with a mission to make sure that those he talks with walk away with this to remember. They matter. They are seen. Richard's story began as a child in an abusive home. He recalls this in the interview, but we will hear as he comes out of the darkness and into the light. He will talk about the value of the human spirit, the brilliance of a strong faith in God, and the powerful acceptance of the fact that homelessness is more of a relationship issue than it is a resource issue. Richard exudes success and redemption, and has learned to trust not only in others, but in himself. This is Richard.
Well, let's see. So, I come from a pretty chaotic family life. My mom and my dad met one night at a bar, and the next day they were married, and they were together for probably about 10 years and had me and my sister. And so my dad was a raging alcoholic, and he was pretty abusive to my mom and stuff. And I remember one of my first memories of life was me and my sister having to escape out our bedroom window because my dad was on a drunken rage and beating our mom. And so we had to go over to the neighbor's house to get some help. And I remember a bunch of cop cars coming down and dragging him out of the house and taking my mom to the hospital. And so they ended up getting divorced. And it was just me and my mom and my sister for, I don't know, probably about a year or two. And then she met my stepdad. And that was not a better situation. So my stepdad also was an alcoholic, and he became pretty abusive towards my mom, but also towards me as well. He was physically abusing me, and he was emotionally abusing me, and he also was sexually abusing me. And when I was about 8 years old, I told my mother what he was doing, and she swept it under the carpet and pretty much said, he pays the bills, so it's okay. When you're 8 years old and being told that by a person who's supposed to be protecting you and guiding you as you grow up, you kind of just check out. And so I kind of did that, and I always hung out with older people and stuff like that, older kids and stuff. So I got really involved with using drugs and drinking and a way to escape reality. And so it was. I was so angry at my mom and so angry at my stepdad and so angry at God. And so I just, I dove into addiction. I was really troubled kid in junior high and ended up getting in so much trouble and getting kicked out of school a lot and getting a lot of fights, and just because I had this pent up rage inside of me. And so that was my childhood and my teenage years. And when I left home, I was couch surfing and everything, and got a real job and was able to get my own place for a short time, but quickly lost it because of drugs and stuff. And so I ended up going over and moving over to Bremerton area, Kitsap County, and my life got really even worse. I got involved with some people that weren't really good people, and I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. And I started selling drugs and ended up getting in trouble with the law over there, and ended up going to prison for 3 years. And when I got out of prison, I found a whole new way of getting high, and that was with the needle. And so my drug of choice was meth. And so I found this just great way of really escaping reality of life. And anytime anything ever came up that I didn't want to deal with or ever want to face, that was my out. And so that became my whole world, was shooting up and doing whatever I had to do to get my next fix. Yeah. And so I spent many years doing that, and it got to my, and it got to a point in my life where, like, I hadn't been talking to my family, and I had burned all the bridges in my life and with my friends. And I ended up at 35 years old, just being completely lost and losing everything, and ended up out on the streets. And that at first was like, oh, okay, well, I have no responsibilities, and I'm, you know, I'm free and woo, woo, woo. But it became really hard. It was a life of not knowing what I was going to do from day to day, or how I was going to survive, or where I was going to sleep. But most importantly, where I was going to get my next fix. You know, it's like, that was the most important thing to me, was finding a way to get high. And I did things like rob people, rob places. I'd beat people up for money. Whatever I had to do, I did it to get that fixed. And then it just came a point in my life, about 7 years ago, it was March 2013, I got to the point where I was in such a dark place and just done with it. I weighed like 135 pounds, and I was just done. Like, I had no hope in my life. I didn't love myself. I didn't care about myself. I didn't love anybody around me. You know, I just was walking around just this hopeless person. And so I remember one night I had been up for 5 days, and I pulled a cardboard box up on the sidewalk. And as I was laying down, I just reached out to God, and I said, you know what, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. I need help. I basically was praying for me to go to sleep and never wake up again. And so I did. I prayed this prayer, and I lay down, and I fell asleep. And about a half hour after I fell asleep, the search and rescue van from the Union Gospel Mission, like, pulled around the corner. And it was like they woke me up and offered me a cup of cocoa and a blanket. But most importantly, they checked in with me to see how I was doing and why I was in the predicament that I was in. And so I was like, what's going on? Why are these people being nice to me? What do they want from me? And that just that night just changed my life forever. Like, I haven't looked back. And so now I currently work at the Seattle Union Gospel Mission as an outreach administrator.
Amazing.
But I went through their program, their recovery program, and, you know, like, I was able to, a couple of years ago, reconnect with my mother and sit down with her and have this conversation about my childhood and kind of let that go and kind of just forgive her of what happened. And once I was able to do that, along with getting clean and stuff like that, that just kind of just lifted so much weight off of my shoulder, and so much anger and resentment inside me just kind of it went away. And so now I get to go out there every single day and do exactly what was given to me, is go out there and bring hope to people's lives.
That's amazing, Richard. I think what's interesting is that one moment when you've tried to give up and pray to God, and then a half hour later, the van comes around the corner.
That's amazing. I know. It was so crazy, because they weren't even supposed to be in that area that night. You know, it was just that they showed up. They were on their way back to the mission. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and they were on their way back to mission and saw a couple of people sleep, because there was me and a couple other people that were sleeping on the sidewalk. So they decided to stop there and just, you know, make sure that we got food and blankets. But for me, it was way more, because it was a group of people that just cared, genuinely cared of what was going on. And they started talking to me about the shelter and started talking to me about the recovery program. And you know, I was kind of like hazy at first, and I was like, hey, if it's a warm place to go sleep by that night, I'm good. I'll go with you guys. But it little did I know that day that I would still be here 7 years later.
right back.
Did you know that socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters? Well, Bombas is on a mission to change that. They created the most comfortable socks in the history of feet, and for every pair of socks purchased, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. Designed with special comfort innovations, colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas are perfect for the whole family. Get your hands on a pair of Bombas socks, and your feet will thank you. Bombas has donated over 20 million pairs and counting. They're made from super soft natural cotton, and every pair is designed with arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed that's supportive but not too thick. My new favorites are the new Merino wool socks, designed to be breathable, dry, and never itchy, with just the right amount of thickness. With tons of different colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas socks also make the perfect gift for anyone on your list. I wear them every day, and I have to say, I'm in love with how they feel. Anyone that knows me knows that I have a bit of a sock and shoe addiction, but sometimes the greatest look doesn't always go hand in hand with the greatest fit or feel, especially those socks that creep down into your shoe. I hate that feeling. With Bombas socks, you are sure to get an incredible experience in both fit, feel, and look. And the best part, for every pair you buy, you are supporting the Bombas mission in providing socks for those in need. Now that is a mission I can get behind, and I know you will too. Save 20% on your first purchase when you shop at bombas.com/homelesspod. That's bombas.com/homelesspod to save 20%. bombas.com/homelesspod.
Have you been able to reconnect with your sister at all?
Oh, yeah. Me and my sister have a really good relationship.
Awesome.
We have a really good relationship now.
Good. And your mother as well.
Well, yes. My mom passed away last year. But we were able to have a couple of really good, solid years to the point where I could call her mom.
Oh, awesome.
Because when I was growing up, I hated calling her mom. I called her Carol by her first name. And so I was able to just build a solid relationship, and knowing that my mom went to heaven, being proud of me, the person I am now, and with her going to heaven, with me being able to call her mom.
When you were out on the streets, and this is like after prison, when you said you went to prison and then you fell to the needle and started dealing, what was that when you were on the streets? I guess I'm wondering what it was like for you. What was the thing that stood out the most when somebody would just walk by you?
I remember one morning, for example, I was in a fairly good mood, and I said good morning to this lady, and she ran across the street away from me. And it was so devastating to me because I felt like I wasn't human. I felt like that I didn't matter to people, that I was just this bum on the street that society could overlook and not care about, and you know, treat them like they're dirt. And it just was so devastating to me to know that a person could look down on me like that.
Did you experience that a lot, or was it, I mean, that one stuck out to you the most, but was that pretty typical?
At the moment, yes, it was. I mean, there, you know, you would try to have a conversation with somebody, but they quickly ran away, or, you know, didn't want anything to do with you. And it was really hard for me to look somebody in the eye because I was so ashamed of where I was in my life and so ashamed of the choices that, you know, that I had made, you know. And so it was really hard. And then when I did, it was really hard for someone to look me in the eye.
Okay.
You know, like when someone passed by, they wouldn't look me in the eye. They wouldn't see who I was. And you know, I'd be on the side of the road crying, and people would just walk on by like it didn't matter. And, you know, it was so devastating that people didn't care.
Yeah. Was there ever a time where somebody did reach out to you or just showed you a little bit of compassion?
The night that they picked me up.
The night they picked, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's the big one, yeah.
That was a huge, I mean, you know, you'd have passerbys that would reach out and, like, give you food or something like that, but at that time, there wasn't that many people that really wanted to, you know, seem to want to get involved with anything. You know, it was, there was no compassion in people, and it was just really, it was really lonely, and yeah, it destroyed me.
Yeah. Was that kind of the moment when you just said, forget it, that's it?
Well, yeah, it was, yeah, I was so tired of it. I was so tired of getting high. I was so tired of having no hope. I was just tired of living and just, you know, felt like that I didn't have a place in this world and stuff sure. like that. And so sure. I just wanted to die, honestly.
Let me ask you a little bit about when you went into the recovery program. What is the recovery program like at Union Gospel Mission?
It is amazing. Yeah. It is, you know, it's a year long recovery program that goes through like the Genesis process, but you meet with your case managers who just walk alongside of you and try to help you figure out what is the underlying issue of why choices are made. So like for me, you know, like getting involved in drugs and a lot of the choices that I made had stemmed from my childhood and didn't know how to deal with them in a healthy way. And they gave me tools to deal with them in a healthy way. And so now like today, when I have a issue or something comes up that triggers me or I'm having a bad day, I know how to deal with them on a normal, healthy way instead of going to go find the needle and hide behind that needle. I can face my problems head on and deal with them.
Yeah.
And so for me, that it's been such an amazing opportunity this last 7 years to be here at the mission, and just what was given to me mm-hmm. is just it's a fantastic program.
That's amazing. One of the things that I always hear when I talk to people is it's not necessarily, you know, give me $5 here, give me a meal there. It's more like just recognize me, just show some empathy and recognize me as a human. Have you found that to be true in your circumstances as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I do it all the time. I get to, you know, we got to get to be a voice for those out there. But a lot of folks out there just want to be seen and know that they matter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, instead of, yeah, it's, you know, someone may ask for $5 or something, but what they're really asking for is have a conversation with me, look me in my eye and see who I am. You know, I mean, the things that we do in our addiction does not define the people that we are. And, you know, there's so many amazing people out there that just have such amazing stories and just want to be heard and just know that they matter to people and that we should come together as a community. And it doesn't matter whether you're living in a tent or living on a sidewalk or if you're living in a house, we're in this together. And yeah. and sometimes someone just needs to reach out that hand and give them a hand up. And it doesn't mean about the financial or anything like that. It just means that human contact and knowing that I'm not a monster.
Yeah. What would you say to someone? So someone's listening to this podcast, they're hearing your story, and they say, oh, you know, that's, you know, a pretty dark story that built into something that's beautiful and light, and I want to give back. What would you say to that person who wants to reach out but doesn't know how to start?
You know, the best way to start is, you know, just when you're walking by somebody and they say good morning to you, extend that courtesy and say, good morning, how are you doing?
Yes.
Or like shaking someone's hand or asking like, hey, what's your name? You know, and start building that connection, because it's all about a relationship. It's we all need that companionship of people and human beings. And, you know, a relationship is the start of getting someone's life back on track. If it wasn't for that group of people that jumped out of that van that night, I mean, yes, God answered my prayer, but he sent a group of strangers that I didn't even know, and they just jumped out of the van, and it wasn't about the cocoa, and it wasn't about the blanket, but it was about that human interaction, a genuine interaction of people saying, hey, we care, we see you, and we hear you, and we want to help you.
Yeah.
You know, and it could start with just a gift card from Starbucks, or just a friendly gesture saying, hey, how are you doing? Or, you know, that's what matters. And that's what a lot of people crave out there. It's just that for people to understand that they are human and they are normal human beings.
When you were homeless, living on the streets, and you needed a resource, besides this, I'm talking about before the UGM, before you took that van ride, where would you go on nightly to get resources for food, for shelter, that kind of thing?
Well, I was one of the ones that I didn't stay in shelters until that night. But, you know, a lot of places, like, they do have some groups that do nightly feeds. So, like, up at Cal Anderson Park here in Seattle, there would be a group that came every Sunday, and they would do hot dogs and soup for people out on the streets. There's a lot of churches that did nightly feeds and stuff like that. And so by word of mouth, people would say, hey, you know, this place over here is feeding. And I never came down to the mission. So we serve meals every day. But when I was homeless, I didn't use the mission as a resource. I didn't know a whole lot about them. But I did, you know, like I said, word of mouth from people telling me, hey, this is where you can go get food. This is where you can go take a shower. This is where you can go. So it's a real network out there of each other just looking out for each other. And then there were a lot of times that, you know, I'm not happy about it, but I stole from grocery stores to eat and stuff.
Yeah. So just survival, basic survival methods.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of people do, is they just hit that survival mode out there. And you know, it's really hard being homeless. A lot of people think it's easy, that people out there don't have any responsibility, but you got to think of it that they're out there trying to survive, finding a place to sleep, a place to eat, a place to take a shower. You know, there's so many concerns, and it's really hard being homeless on top of, you know, society looking down on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you make contacts that you stayed in touch with of other people that were homeless at the same time as you?
I would hang out with a lot of people, only to get high. I kind of was one of those ones that pretty much kept to myself, except if I was getting high, I'd go get high. But then I didn't stay with people. I would just go off by myself and everything. And I was such in such a dark place at that time of my life that I didn't think I deserved to be around people. I didn't think I deserved to have people in my life. You know, and it stems from my childhood. You know, people think that homelessness is a resource issue, but it's truly not. It's about a relationship issue that has been broken somewhere in the past, whether it be by family or by friends or a loved one. Someone has hurt them so bad, like my mom really hurt me. And so that was a broken relationship. So it was hard for me to trust people, and it was hard for me
And that's probably going to be a lifelong journey for you, but you're finding more trust now as you grow?
I do, because, you know, that's one of the things that here at the Mission, at the recovery program, that we learned is to trust people again, because it is all about that trust, or about the relationship. And, you know, it's I trust people now, and I see it differently. There's some really good folks out there that really care about people. They, like you said, just don't know how to get involved or how to actually help out. A lot of times people don't think that they make a difference, but they do. I mean, even if it's just saying good morning to somebody, if they say good morning to you, it means so much to somebody that's homeless.
What hits home with a lot of people is that this isn't just all of a sudden somebody decides to walk out the door and be homeless. That, like you say, it builds from something, usually, I would say probably majority of the time, from something earlier in life, you know, the relationship issue or something like that, you know, something from childhood, which is, boy, it's devastating. It really is.
Yeah.
So now you're working with the recovery program. Tell me about your daily. So you say you go out daily and you're working with people. Well, assuming you're not, but because it's,
you know, yeah. Yeah. So my normal day is doing So like I said, I now work for, I am employed by the Union Gospel Mission as an outreach administrator. So I actually oversee, so the search and rescue, I oversee that. I coordinate all our efforts on that. So like making sure that we have routes in place, supplies and everything, but I also do a lot of outreach during the day. So me and our team go out during the day and we just kind of just check on people. We bring them supplies, but we also bring them that relationship. We bring them resources. We just go out there and check on folks and just, you know, just make sure that they're doing okay, but do a lot of case managing with them. But yeah, most of all, just being involved in their life and everything. And it's kind of amazing because our outreach team, we, out of these 6,500 people that live out on the streets, we probably know close to 2,700 of their names, but not just their names, their stories and stuff like that. And that matters to them. Yeah. Like I had one guy say to me, he's like, "Richard, how do you remember all our names?" I'm like, "Because you matter. Oh, we see you. Awesome. And we love you."
I love that.
Yeah. And it that just makes them like, it's so awesome because like last year when my mother passed away, I had folks that were out on the streets that were calling me and checking with me and saying, "Richard, are you doing okay? We're here for you." And that was like, that was so touching because they know that it's that mutual love and respect for each other. And so that's the biggest part of my job. And I'm getting all teary-eyed about it because I get so passionate about it.
I love it.
But it's that mutual respect and love for each other. And so that's what my day is, just getting out there and loving folks exactly where they're at and letting them know that they matter and that I see them and that we see them and we hear them and we love them.
Oh, that is awesome. You are changing lives, man. I mean, we've only talked for a half hour and I can tell you are just having a massive impact out there. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Is this something you hope to keep doing with Union Gospel Mission?
Yes. I told, I always joke with them. I'm like, the only way that I'm leaving the mission is in a body bag when I die.
Okay.
I joke about this, but I think I found my calling. I think this is exactly what God wants me to do I'm amazed that I get to do this every single day. And, a lot of times when people come Sunday night and they're like regretting having to get up in the morning to go to work on Monday morning, I actually look forward to going to work every single day. I plan on being here at the mission as long as the mission will have me.
What would you say to somebody who is feeling a lack of hope or a lack of mission in their life or a lack of arrival, something that you could offer them after what you've been through and the journey that you've gone through?
I would say, to hang in there, that you matter and that there is a way. It's so hard that there's a way out, that, all you have to do is just keep the hope and understand that there are people that care about you and that you matter too. And no matter where you are in your life, God's always got you and he's got a plan for you. And we may not always understand what that plan is and we may not like his timing, but there's always that miracle at the end that you just got to hold on to and, just understand that God put us on this planet to love him with all our hearts, body, minds, and soul. But he puts us on this planet to love each other the exact same way. So it starts with that right there. It starts with a relationship. It starts with loving each other. And it doesn't matter where you're at in life. We are a community and we need to be there for each other. And it just starts with a simple gesture of like a handshake, a smile, or just a word of kindness.
Trust and love. It all starts with us. The Union Gospel Mission of Seattle, Washington has a goal to develop lives with the power of love and trust. Richard has finally found that trust and love, and he has had the opportunity to reach out to others daily. He has made an impact in a world that is uncertain, especially with the current situation we are in globally. It is so easy to feel overwhelmed and uncertain of what is to come. So let's take a page out of Richard's book. Let's trust ourselves to share love and hope with everyone we meet. If you'd like to learn more about the Union Gospel Mission, please visit ugm.org. There you will see incredible stories of recovery. You'll witness the power of giving, and you have the opportunity to find ways to give back to the community. If you'd like to donate to UGM, you'll find a link there as well. Visit them on Facebook and Instagram, and while you're at it, don't forget to visit the Homeless Podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/homelesspnw. You can also visit us on Instagram at homeless_podcast and send an email to homelesspodcast@yahoo.com. Live like Richard is living, with love in your heart, hope in your mind, and patience in your walk. It is through calmness and kindness that we find peace. Thanks for listening, and see you in 2 weeks. Until then, don't look away.